Welcome back. This is After Hours with me, Rick Hogan, at the new civilized hours of 7 to 9, working with engineer Krista Flores and producer Ben Anderson. And my guest for this half hour is Kirsten Gustafson. Kirsten, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Rick. How are you?
I'm fine. You are not only a terrific singer, and ladies and gentlemen, you are here, a cut from her new CD, in the second half of this half hour. You are also, you're one of the most intriguing people I've ever encountered in that.
No kidding.
Well, and you tell me, ladies and gentlemen, Kirsten's first CD, and it was then called an album, was You Taught My Heart to Sing, and it was issued in 1992. This is her second CD, Where Have You Been, Kirsten Gustafson, My Whole Life?
I have moved around and kind of settled back in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, where I, not the same town that I grew up in, but I'm here.
when you first issued that CD, was it a CD or was it a LP?
No, it was a CD.
Wow, the early days of CD.
It was on Atlantic Records.
Wow, when you start with that level. Generally, there would be an ongoing number of recordings since, but did you drop out of the music business? This is the intriguing part. You have such a beautiful voice.
I didn't. It was sort of a short-lived thing. At least I got to go and sing in the Montreux Jazz Festival.
Wow.
In Switzerland before they let me go.
Wow. What was your background? Are you from the upper, the UP, as they say?
Yes.
So you started singing as a youngster?
Yes, my mother played piano, and she had studied voice, and she taught me how to sing when I was just a little girl, and, you know, had me sing at certain little events in our tiny hometown.
This is a great, Kirsten, I'm serious. This is a great, great story. Then, did you in high school and or college, did you pursue singing as a possible career?
Well, I wanted to sing more when I was in high school. I was just kind of, you know, timid, I guess.
Sure.
About it, and you know, in a small town, I mean, you're lucky if you've got a high school band or marching band or something. And I was in that, and I played French horn.
Mm-hmm. And what town is it? What town is it in the UP?
It's 836, maybe.
836 people.
Oh, the town.
Yeah.
No, oh, okay.
Oh, no, you thought I said what time is it? No.
Oh, I thought you said what time.
No.
I did not hear. No. Okay, it must be your Chicago accent.
Well, good. It must be your Upper Peninsula accent. What's the town of the UP you're from?
I'm from a small town called Newberry.
Newberry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now we're in. You're into high school. You're in the band. You're playing the French horn in the band. And how? Take me from that moment to your first CD in 1992. What is the road?
See if I can get there. It's just, I always loved singing. I used to. Neighbors told me that I used to sit upstairs in my bedroom window and in the summer and just sing and sing and sing for hours. Out of the window when I wasn't climbing down the old TV antenna pole thing,
sure,
you know.
Sure.
I could and I sang in choir at our church,
mm-hmm.
and I just always wanted to sing, and so I really tried to be good enough at French horn so that, because there was no way for me to qualify to go to Interlaken for the summer camp.
Right. Famous music school.
In voice.
Yeah.
I couldn't qualify that way, so I qualified another way. But really, I mean, I became a better horn player, but I learned a lot more about singing in voice.
You did go to Interlaken as a horn player.
I did.
That experience, from my experience, has changed the lives of a number of performers. And so after Interlaken, you got terrific on the French horn, and you got better at singing, yes?
Yes, I did. I learned so much I was there for that summer.
What about Kirsten and the level of confidence? I mean, you know, singing on a balcony to your neighbors is one thing, but if you're going to make that leap where you're going to sing in front of audiences, I think that's a big leap for a young performer to take. Was it hard for you?
It's a little scary.
Yeah.
But yeah. But I didn't sing, I didn't perform really professionally until the, oh gosh, 80s, sometime in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Where? Mm-hmm. Where were you performing?
Well, and it was mostly in Upper Michigan, and I sang everything from country to disco and
sort of depending,
whatever popular music was going on then.
depending on the venue, right?
Right, right.
So how did, the late 80s, now we're up to 92, how did the first CD come to be?
Well, I moved to Chicago from the Upper Peninsula. I thought, you know what? There's something waiting for me in Chicago, and I hope it's what I think it is. And so I took my daughter with me, and we just moved to Chicago. Didn't really know anybody there.
Wow.
And then I just started going out to all the places where I could go and sit in. And, it caught the ear of some people. And
what were some of those places? We were probably there together.
Oh,
at some
probably
point.
Some of them are gone.
Oh,
now.
No question.
What was that place? Oh, my goodness. I'm trying to think.
It wasn't not the Gold Star Sardine Bar or Andy's or Boombola or the Raccoon Club or...
No, it was just a place where you could go and you could sit in.
Oh, okay, okay.
I'm trying to remember it, but it's been closed now for a long time.
Sure,
it was so much fun.
But someone offered you a record deal?
Well, somebody heard me, and they got a hold of this guy named Denny Nowak. And,
sure.
Do you know Denny?
Yes, I do.
Great guy.
Yes.
And Vince Ippolito, his friend.
Sure.
And they had this idea. We were going to make a CD, and we were going to get a record, you know, get it on a label.
Wow. And you did make it.
They did it.
And you did make it, and it got a ton of attention, and got you to the Montreux Jazz Festival. Did you think you were on your way professionally then? Did you think, okay, I've made it, and this is the beginning of big things?
Well, I really kind of did, I guess.
Sure. What happened?
Well, I know.
And first of all, I know the music business is among the most precarious fields in the arts or in any business. That said, what happened?
Well, you know, it seems like a lot of things that you're on the top of the heap, or you think you are, and then all of a sudden, mm-hmm. the bottom drops out of stuff. So I don't know. I can't say what all it was, really. I needed a little more promotion and that kind of thing. And,
sure.
You know, maybe a little leading me or grooming me a little bit more.
Sure. Or, on the commercial end, you probably needed some help to, you know, you're a performer. You're not a record company executive. And I think many performers I know and myself included are not business people at all. So then you sort of just faded away from the professional scene. You moved out of Chicago?
After a while, I did.
Yeah. And you went back up to the UP?
Yeah. And then I came back to Chicago for a while, and then I did a few things. In the in-between time, I did, I think that second time I came back, I sang with a guy that I met at Espial, which is no longer there.
Right.
I first met him when I moved to town the first time, and his name is Richard Knight Jr.
I've known Richard for... a really long time.
Have
that's
you?
That's what intrigued me. He's the producer of your new CD.
He is, and I just love the guy.
Yep.
And I didn't know what he wanted from me in the beginning. I'm like, what? Why are you bothering me?
When I first met him, I didn't know what he wanted from me either. Yeah, I know. Richard's a charming character, boy. He's a charming character.
And, he sure is.
And so he sort of helped you on the music scene?
Well, you know what? He had a crazy idea for this band and called it Samba Bamba.
Interesting.
And so there was not just, you know, the music we did, which was great stuff.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, it was great fun, but some of us all had characters that we were supposed to be portraying.
That's a great Richard Knight idea, man.
Isn't it?
Yes, it's a classic. It's a classic.
And so my name, you know, Kirsten Gustafson, whatever. So I was Gusty, and I couldn't speak English, of course, but I could sing all these songs in English.
That sounds fantastic. How long did you do that here? How long did you do that?
Oh, my gosh. We did that for, a few years.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And then about a year and a half ago, we had a reunion of Samba Bamba, and we did one last performance. Yeah.
Where was that?
I'm trying to remember the name of the
venue. Was it in Chicago?
It was in Chicago.
All right. I'll find out. This is, you see what I mean, ladies and gentlemen, when I said that Kirsten Gustafson is intriguing. This story is fantastic. We will come back in a couple minutes, and then you will explain, Kirsten, if you can, the birth of this second CD. The CD is great. It's being released formally released on Tuesday on Now. You know, the other thing that's changed a lot, Kirsten, since you did your first CD, is the whole nature of the record business. Do you know what I mean? And
yeah,
I'm not sure there were no downloads and all this nonsense. But the new CD is called Wait Until Dark, and it'll be available Tuesday on all manner of platforms. We'll talk to Kirsten about how she got to do this CD with the one and only visionary producer Richard Knight. Aboard. That's such, what a small, wonderful world. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Kirsten Fitzgerald, my new friend from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, is a talented singer. I would call her a jazz singer, but her repertoire is more eclectic. It is an eclectic one that would be a rock singer. She does on her new CD, which is titled Wait Until Dark, which becomes available everywhere, as CDs do these days, on Tuesday. There's a version of A Horse With No Name on there that is just beyond striking and stunning. Did Richard Knight, the one and only very charismatic Richard Knight, convince you to do another CD? Is that how this happened, Kirsten?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Said, we're going into the studio. And I went, what?
he is that way. I mean, he's a real font of creativity. And what was it like for you? Was it fun?
Well, it was. It was fun, and then it was a little, sometimes it's stressful because you're not really sure, you're in different territory with music, and you're not quite sure the way the feel should be, he just encouraged things along and, you know, brought out some of the best in me, I guess.
He did. I'm going to let people listen to the entire version of The Look of Love. Ben Anderson will play it now. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the ever intriguing songstress Kirsten Gustafson.
A smile can't disguise
Well, young lady, you can surely sing. That's a great, great version. What do you think when you hear it?
Oh, I think it's wonderful, but it's really more about how I feel.
Yeah.
I just feel like, you know, like I'm younger than I am now, and I'm in this convertible, and going someplace and looking at the ocean, and, you know, stuff like that.
It's interesting. It's interesting, if not tragic, to be releasing a CD in this time, because you would think, with a CD like this, like Wait Until Dark, which is be available everywhere on Tuesday, all of the, CD Baby, all of these streaming services, all of that jazz, that you should be out. You should be out playing clubs in support of the CD. Do you think? And it's too bad you can't. But eventually you will be able to. Are you looking forward to that? Are you looking forward to performing in clubs again?
Oh, I really am. Yes. There's just not enough work here, and usually it's small things, or I do sing with a big band, a swing band, and that's kind of fun.
Sure.
But, you know, then it's a different style of singing. You don't have quite as much freedom to interpret.
Well, and the other, all due respect to the Upper Peninsula, it cannot be a hotbed of jazz clubs or performance spaces.
No, it is not. You are correct, sir.
Well, thank you, ma'am. What do you see? I mean, are you, as many performers can be, and it's been a long time between CDs, almost 30 years, are you anxious about the reception that Wait Until Dark is about to have? Because I know that it's going to be played, you know, pretty consistently across the country after it opens on Tuesday, after it drops on Tuesday. Are you eager to see what the real?
Oh, I'm eager to see how it's accepted or interpreted or whatever.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely, and no matter what the outcome, I'm just delighted.
And this in a sense, don't you think, Kirsten? This in a sense changes, it puts you on a new road. It changes the course of your life a little bit, does it not?
It does.
Yeah.
I might have to do a little more traveling than I have been.
Well, it's tough to travel from the Upper Peninsula. You got to drive most places, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now you mentioned a child, that you came here with a child. How many children do you have?
I have one daughter.
And what does she do?
And well, she is a nurse and she works in Oregon.
Oh, wow.
And in a little town where they make cheese called Tillamook.
Uh-huh.
Tillamook.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And she is, all grown up and has a wonderful husband. And, yeah, so she did well.
So
she was with me for a lot of the times. And at one point, we even lived above the Bucket O' Suds.
You're kidding.
Nope.
I know the Bucket O' Suds. Yeah, that was a...
I miss that place.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who miss that place. There are a lot of people who miss that place. And Chicago is obviously on your radar as a performer with your, you know, it was the stomping ground of the producer of this CD, Richard Knight. And Richard, if you're listening, as I'm sure you are, credit to you for twisting Kirsten's arm to make this CD. Do you think, obviously, this making this new CD was an enjoyable experience for you. Would you?
Oh, yeah.
I know you can't, you know, as I said before, it's hard to look, you know, 2 days ahead in the future, but would you envision yourself doing more?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There's a plan in place. I probably can't say too much, but yes. Soon.
You can say, wait a minute, you can say anything on this radio station.
Well,
can,
I don't know.
Well, yeah, I'm telling you, you can. I'm telling you, you can. I would love to, I would look forward to seeing you perform. This town has had a lot of great female singers, male too, of course. But
oh, yeah.
You're very distinctive. And one of the interesting things about you is, as ladies and gentlemen, you will find out if you go search out Wait Until Dark, which will be released on Thursday. It's a very, very eclectic mix. I mean, it's some of it's jazzy, some of it's rock. And that goes to the credit of all the different places you've sung over the years, don't you think? You bring a lot of different, not just different emotions to your songs, but a lot of different kind of genres. That's very much to your credit. To your credit.
Good. I'm glad you think so.
What makes you pick a song?
I don't know, any number of things, but it's really, for me, so much about the feeling, the emotion, the feel of it.
Sure.
I'm a feeler.
I can sense that. And listen, you don't have, being non-commercial the way you are, you don't have a website, do you?
No, I don't.
Well, Richard Knight, your next creative endeavor is to make a website for Kirsten. I'm not sure I've met many singers recently, or if ever, who don't have their own website. You know, one of the unfortunate things about being an artist, young lady, is that you gotta the commercial side of it is very important. You gotta sell. But we'll leave that to Richard. It was great to work with him, wasn't it?
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
he's just wonderful. He's my angel.
Yeah. Well,
My silly angel.
I hope that you is the Upper Peninsula on lockdown. Are you mostly free?
Yeah, they opened up the restaurants, but with quite a bit of social distancing.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I worry about. I worry that some nightclubs, as we call them, are going to go through some rough times with all that social distancing. But you don't have to be in a nightclub to listen to Kirsten Gustafson's second CD. Her second CD comes out 28 years after her first CD. It is called Wait Until Dark. It'll be available in all the places CDs are available, streaming and all other ways, on Tuesday. Kirsten, it's a pleasure to meet you on the phone, and it's also a pleasure,
nice
to listen.
Nice meeting you, too. Thank you, Rick.
I hope to do it in person one day.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Take care. Take care, dear.
You bet.
Okay. Wow. The songbird of the Upper Peninsula.